points about the day of COVID. So these are a few surprises and a few changes and a few clarifications. I was speaking to my boys in Africa also about the program today. There's two things. First, and we'll read the bottom numbers. It's a effort around the world to have an inauguration day for kicking off Srila Prabhupada's centennial. And so, majority of the temples will have tonight as the day. And some will have some major program a little later in January. So it's very similar to what we've been doing for the last 5 years or so in Washington, is that for New Year's Eve, we would bring devotees together to look very close about their past services, the previous year, a chance to have greater appreciation for or reminding ourselves about the process that we're involved in, how rare, how unusual it is, how important it is to follow it properly. Chance to look at any patterns that are unhealthy and to see how to make some change. It's like the materialists make resolutions during this time. And then a couple of days later, sometimes hours later, they break. And usually resolutions about, you know, material arrangements. And for the devotee, we want to more commit ourselves more and more spiritually. So, a couple of things. So, as we go into this year, and we'll be repeating it later this evening, this is, and once it's one of the most important years, but we can practically say the most important year for our Krishna conscious movement. Most important, of course, I guess, is when Srila Prabhupada came to the West to get the movement started. And this centennial is the time that we look at the beginnings of the movement, the activities of the movement. We look at Prabhupada's appearance day, Prabhupada's disappearance. So all of these things are part of the reflection. And so after tomorrow, for the whole year, there'll be things going on all around the world. Now, most important is not just the external and the imagery and the campaigns and the slogans and so many things, but how much we ourselves catch up more with what the mission is. And as we do that, then people automatically will come closer. People automatically will take more advantage if they see that there's some benefit for them. They see that it is something that is productive, sound, and then it will be very, let's see, inviting. So, it's like Prabhupada, through his appearance, even his disappearance, is arranging for us, in spite of our weaknesses, somehow we gain some strength by being able to serve him in different ways. And so many efforts are being made. So many projects are going on. So many projects are to be completed during this year. And you've seen and heard the different pedals that are there, all focusing on a certain aspect of devotional service. So that will have, of course, some effect in many ways, helping some devotees who have left the movement to come back. Some devotees who have gotten slack in their devotional activities to try to strengthen their activities. And then for certain devotees who are active in the movement to improve on the quality, of course, of their services. So we want to take this whole day as we enter, what to say, if we come to the night and start the new year. This is amazing when you think that this is some hours from now. There'll be 1996. We can all remember when we first joined the movement, and some of us a long, long time back. This is how fast the years are going by, and how many things are happening, etc. So a couple of things I would like to ask with the offices on the board, and I know it's kind of a surprise, but of course, Christian Times is full of adventure and surprise. We'd like the Amanda Gurney and Rajin Nekavir somehow you get devotees to cover your services for most of the day, and if you could go around to devotees living off the property, especially devotees we haven't seen, and to just visit them. And anyone else would like to join that group, then of course, I'm sure you would be welcome. But it shouldn't be too many, maybe one or two other people would like, those who are part of the community here many, many years. We would like you to visit some of these devotees, short visit, and invite them tonight. The program will start, we'll really get going on at 9. And to express to them that this is kickoff of Prabhupada's centennial, and we would like them to come for association. And if they don't come, we would like devotees always to know and understand that they are cared for, or they are thought about. It is not easy year after year trying to remain fixed as a devotee. There are so many problems, sociological, political, economic, and of course spiritual. And they're all there for as part of the material ingredients that we have to move through. But often these problems become overbearing for some people. And Maya has many ways to distract us. Ultimately, there's nothing can stop us from chanting Hare Krishna, from following principles. And if something does, then it means it's really our own fault. But however, there are things that cause us to justify not following faster. And there are things that happen that it can be very, very disturbing, very bewildering, very frustrating, very disappointing. And some of those things are real and some are not always so tangible, but there are enough real things that are there. And so just like in warfare, you have many different types of soldiers, many types of activities, many scrimmages, sometimes even some defeats. But if the strategy is strong, then there will be ultimately victory. And even when there is some setback, if the brigade is sufficiently strong, then it covers itself where it's weak, rejuvenates, and goes on. And in war, there's always casualties, or there's always situations where people get wounded. You don't have a war without that. You don't have a war without conflict. And of course, without conflict, you don't have a chance to be victorious. So, Krishna consciousness is so unusual and so rare. I was talking to some leaders the other day, and they were mentioning some things about many movements and so much new age and so many other things. We're discussing, yes, it's all there, but it is not transcendental. And there's so many, you know, wonderful material societies, organizations, establishments, but they're not spiritual. For the sake of transcendental. It is something similar to someone who is being put in the university who's only had basic secondary education or high school education. They're not even high school, junior high or secondary. So obviously that is a tremendous imposition in one sense, difficult, because it's out of their field, so to speak. And such a person can do one or two things. Such a person can feel that they are properly situated, that they're okay, and they'll just be frustrated. Because the involvement, the level of commitment and understanding is actually beyond their particular immediate range. So they think they already have it, and they're properly situated, then they will not muster up enough endeavor to come up to what they've been put into. And so they'll be complacent. So we should never feel that we're actually worthy of being a Vaishnava, or that we're qualified to be a Vaishnava. Once we start feeling that we are qualified, then we don't come up to being what is necessary. Like that we get first initiation, second initiation, all these things. It's not that we are that. It means now we must take the blessings and the encouragement and the recognition to try to become that. It's not that we are Brahmins. We are given some Brahmin today, we are given the Gayatri Mantra. And now we are to try to come to be the Vaishnava Brahmin. But if we're thinking that we are that already, then we will be eventually an embarrassment to ourselves and to our heritage. So, by being put into a situation that is very taxing, that is beyond one's seemingly immediate capacity, it will be challenging, it will be disturbing, it will be many complexities. But that can be looked at in a beautiful sense, that here one is being put into a situation, now how this call, this mercy has come upon them, and somehow how they must work hard now to try to become that. And this can be a problem, because sometimes we've taken it very much for granted, and we coast and go on for some years, and we find ourselves having no taste. We find ourselves losing faith. We find that we become bored with basic activities, even bored with management. And then we look for other ways to dovetail that are not really Krishna conscious. And Krishna is not bribed, he's not cheated, he knows the inner conscience of everyone. And he's responding to that. He gets the mantra paja and take time, shri vanta jama, namana, vata, manusha, paja, salvation. He's reciprocating based on what is actually genuine in the inner conscience. And he knows the intent. If you do something wrong, it is still against us, but it's not quite the same as the calculated sin or error. And as we want to serve, more and more he will give us the vision and the understanding and the insight how to do things in the proper way. So much a part of the Centennial Campaign is to try to strengthen the devotee family. And that has a lot to do with trying to help everyone to see that Krishna consciousness is for them. Even if they're not for Krishna consciousness, but they see that there is something integrally there that they have committed to, that if they are taking initiation, and they just try to revitalize those vows. And if they have not come back close, they can at least be the well-wishers, support the society in some way. This is not just an ordinary movement, it's a movement that is going on every so often in different universes, inaugurated by the Lord in His eternal servitors. So, wherever those souls are who come in from different universes to be able to participate where Lord Caitanya has his mission going on, those souls are very rare. And we must be careful not to just point fingers and say, oh, this one is lost, and this one is lost, and this one is this or that. Yes, people are in different situations. But somehow, if they have come to see the deity, if they have chanted the Lord, and they've taken Tairamrita, they're water tossing, they're somehow engaged in some of the activities of devotional service, that is part of their eternal credit. And they are marked by Krishna and his deities. And in some cases, it may take many, many years before one decides to take full advantage of the gift that's given. Sometimes it may take many lifetimes before one takes proper advantage. But once the contact is made, no individual can be the same after once having had association with the devotees. So, sometimes just some kind word can make a difference in someone's life to be able to try to remember what they have put on hold. Because all of these things affect the immediate conscience and affect the conscience of time and death. So, we'd like those devotees to go visit some of the devotees in the community, living off the land, and to invite them to come. And even if they do not come, to let them understand that we are concerned about them. This is their project. They have their relationship with their spiritual master, with scripture and sadhu. And we all have the position and the duty to be the servants of each other. And to be the well-wishers. It's not only to help those who may have become wounded or even become casualties, but it's for self-purification as well. Because first on the battlefield, it is always precarious and it is indefinite, it's not so definite who will get wounded, who will be next to get wounded, and who will need help. And when the soldiers themselves do not have proper unity and take care of each other, then the whole environment becomes more dangerous. Because then wherever those weaknesses are, then it makes more and more arrangement or invites more ability for the adversary to take advantage. So our growth of our own individual spiritual life is also based on how we grow in community. And more material growth in the spiritual environment would be very difficult to exist without some strong community. We are ultimately entities who are not just to live alone, think alone, act alone, but service means relationship, sharing, being caretakers. So, in some cases where there may be someone or some bodies who have just become so offensive to Vaishnavas, then what can we do? Someone who is so offensive that actively attacking or trying to attack or trying to create havoc for Vaishnavas in general, what can we do? To associate with such people would just cause them to incur more reaction and not less. Just like we have the 9 offenses, we do not preach to the faithless. We're always concerned about everyone as devotees. We chant the 10 offenses. But the faithless, we see that someone we speak to, and they're simply becoming blasphemous toward Krishna. They simply become disturbed about the theistic position. Then what can we do? Then our concern for such souls is to back away from them. Our concern for such souls, we can't help them not to do something that's going to cause them to go deeper into the modes of materialization. We're trying to create a certain type of consciousness in the community that will engender lots of divineness. In order to do that, it must be a very, very, very strong, caring atmosphere. And such, this invites so many different types of blessings from Krishna. So, the other thing is that from 9 to 10, I'm sorry, 9 to 12, we'll have some readings from Harisari's diary. We stress our commitments and understanding of Srila Prabhupada's service, his mission, the roles that we can play. And as so much of our alignment to Krishna consciousness is based on our association and the quality and appreciation of the holy name. So we will shall be some bhajans. And we have my gossip to my bigger body here. I hope she can play the harmonium as good as she used to.
I haven't touched it since.
I think we have a few harmonies here and a few devotees who can assisted in the bhajan. And then we want to have from okay, some reading from the Harinam Chintamani, and Swami Chandamani Swami is here, so he will assist us in the program. And if I would like to ask him to give the afternoon Sunday Peace class. What time is Sunday Peace? Acharya? What time is the lecture?
Lecture is 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock. It's a 4 o'clock lecture. To keep the whole day in this meditation. And at 12 o'clock, we can have a candlelight simultaneous arching of Radha Damodar and Srila Prabhupada. And we would like devotees during the day to reflect and to write in your own way. Nobody's going to read it but Srila Prabhupada and yourself. But if you just write for yourself, you write a letter that will be in the sentimental spirit of thanking Srila Prabhupada for being your father, grandfather, allowing you to participate in this society and take some look at your devotional activities, brief, and particularly make some spiritual resolutions and commitments. So that each individual can take more control of his or her spiritual life and make things happen in an emotional way. If we just do things very impersonally, then we'll just get that level of reciprocation. And then if we can just have some thing on the Lord Prabhupada's asana, where we can put our letters, and then Mother Kalini will take them and burn them up. So you don't have to sign it. You can even write different than how you normally write if you want. You can type it. You say, well, what's the need of this writing? This makes them quick. We all know how our minds and our time is. Sometimes we just make those same, you know, mechanical, you know, mental reflections. But Prabhupada didn't stress the importance of writing. Especially he mentioned to his renunciates. Even to try to write every day, it will increase the realization. So when you have to write, you have to reflect and think more about what you're thinking or what you're not thinking. You're able to focus more on whatever those reflections are. And we offer that to Srila Prabhupada for his blessing, his grace. And if you are uncomfortable with such, but we encourage you, if possible, to do such. So when we offer flower for the Guru Puja, that is, you offer flower and you offer your letter to Srila Prabhupada. This will help us more through the day and bring in the consciousness that we want to bring in, to bring in the new year. Even the karmis, the gross materialists, and even the mystic subtle materialists, they all have some understanding that what you do starting the year off has a big effect on what that the rest of that year will be. You open up new chapters, the way you start has a big effect on the ongoing activities. This light is wonderful. I mean, I was visiting Vrindavan to see how strong, you know, that the Bhakti program was. And realizing how significant it is for the boys getting a good start. But later they get exposed to so many things and determines, you know, their inner desires, what will happen. But many times, the boys have gotten off with such a bad start in their spiritual life, they're always kind of at a loss, trying to catch up. It says, I was talking to one devotee the other day about the 10-year program, the chanting, etc. We're discussing how when you just do these things regularly, it becomes natural. It's not a strain. But once you avoid, once you stop, then it gets hard trying to do it. Huh? You somehow get in the habit of not chanting all your rounds, not finishing them. Then you know it's going to get hard, you just get in the pattern of doing it. If you're in the habit of not rising early or whatever, And when you try to do it, it becomes just, you know, difficult. You're not reading, not hearing. But when you try to do it, it's a strain. If you're doing it on a regular basis, then there's no serious problem. And why regulation is so important is that we're always experiencing the duality of mutual energy. Sometimes we're more excited, sometimes less, sometimes we do, sometimes not. Sometimes we're, a lot of mental, intellectual bewilderment. But if we are in the habit of taking our medicine, then even when we're not so much eager for taking it, we're in the habit and we'll just naturally take it and we'll be benefited by it. When we're not regulated, then we'll take it. When we're feeling some exhilaration, when we don't, then we won't take it. So, we have stress as an offering to Srila Prabhupada, so much about expanding, developing the Giranagari community. And literally leaders from all around the world will be watching, are watching, to see what is going to happen. He's having communication with Hare Keshwami. He's sort of ahead of most of the leaders in the idea of setting up a community, some idea of self-sufficiency. But before I go to India, I'll be meeting with him in Zurich. And we'll do a serious brainstorming about some of these sort of issues. As well as sort of trying to put together some package to approach people at the United Nations about trying to see how we can get some funding directly from the UN and also from the central government in India to help with the ongoing work of the Mayapur project. So the idea is that it is a cultural expression, the culture of India. It is to be an ecologically sound situation, so that we will be inviting for researchers, those who are becoming more ecologically aware of the problems the world is facing. It's naturally a pilgrimage place. Bengal, the whole area is so important. And so we're trying to approach it in such ways to see what they expect to support a program and see how we can meet up those needs. Because this world is to be the biggest project we have in the movement, which is a spiritual city. It's been already predicted by Bhakti Vinod and other great spiritualists. So they have seen this manifest already. Now we have worldwide some opportunity to do something in that way. So, if we're not trying to grow, where there's growth, we're going to feel very kind of inconvenient or out of place or disturbed. You don't really apologize for that. In other words, care means to be concerned about the spiritual growth of every person. If it's material, then we're just concerned with everybody's personality being happy. Everyone enjoying sense gratification. Or if we're just having a spiritual community without vision, then we just collectively come together and we all suffer and tolerate. But if it's spiritually astute, then we undergo some austerities, but there is growth and acceleration, and things manifest in so many ways beyond just the theoretical level. So, if some of the people who we go visit, they feel we're imposing on them, we just apologize. We just come to visit and to invite them to take part in their grandfather or father's inauguration of the centennial. Now, of course, some people did not even come from this appearance. So if they're not coming for this appearance, you may also not be so prone to come for the centennial. But perhaps some didn't come because also We didn't need a little extra invite. So let us see what we can do on that behalf, on that part. So at 12 o'clock, 5 minutes to 12, we'll start the art teacher there at 12 o'clock. We are already locked in, engaged in the worship. And then, of course, there's a scheme of activities to go up into Mangalarti. We'll put this on the board. Maybe some small changes, but pretty much this is the schedule we'll go by. He's not so sure about this Bhagavatam class. By the time Bhagavatam class tomorrow, I think the one's gone up all night. I can't imagine anybody being able to hear the Bhagavatam class. We'll see. What usually happens physiologically when you stay up so late, you get very tired, you stay up all night, you get so tired, and then after a while, you just kind of get like a second wind or something. You know? But you get so tired that it's almost unbearable to keep your eyes open. And then later, you just move through it, you know? So, get a chance for a lot of chanting, a lot of discussions. And, is to offer ourselves one thing. And this is going on in different ways, several temples all around the world. For those of you who've been doing it with us for the last 5 years, you should be a little bit more veterans at this. But maybe not. Our bodies get older and more difficult to pull through. And if somebody's having too much trouble staying up, then, you know, do the necessary. So, you know, going to Samadhi for a little while. The most important is we want to be attentive at 12 o'clock. Because at that time there's also so much mundaneness that will be going on all over the country. People who are just going to be, you know, drinking and shouting and just, you know, bringing in so much sense gratification to the environment. And that is going to pinpoint their consciousness for the rest of the year. But we want to always look close, huh? Krishna consciousness is very dry if we're not growing. Because, you know, it's like we're not situating ourselves in mature energy and trying to enjoy it. So we minimize or avoid some of the gross sense gratification. We're not getting higher taste. Then it's very difficult. We'll be constantly doing back Bhagavatiyaga. So I'm taking too much time, I'll read briefly. But if there's a few other Brahmins here, some devotees are here can help, you know, replace the services, those who will be going around. Possibly try to visit Jagadish's son also. He can look out of town and visit him as well. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Verse 11 or verse 12? 12. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 12. Questions by the sages. Sutta.
Sutta.
Janasi.
Janasi.
Vajram.
Vajram.
Te.
Te.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Sadvatam.
Sadvatam.
Pati.
Pati.
Devakyam,
Devakyam,
Vasudevasya,
Vasudevasya,
Tato,
Tato,
Yasya,
Yasya,
Chikirsaya,
Chikirsaya,
Sutta Janasi Bhadramte,
Sutta Janasi Bhadramte,
Bhagavat Satpatam Pati,
Bhagavat Satpatam Pati,
Devakyam Vasudevasya,
Devakyam Vasudevasya,
Jato Yasya Chikirsaya,
Jato Yasya Chikirsaya,
Sutta Janasi Bhadramte,
Sutta Janasi
Bhagavan Sarvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasa Chikitsaya Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te Bhagavan Sarvatam Pati Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasa Chikirsaya.
You can try.
Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te
Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te
Bhagavan Sarvatam Pati
Bhagavan Sarvatam Pati
Devakyam Vasudevasya
Devakyam Vasudevasya
Jato Yasa Chikirsaya
Jato Yasa Chikirsaya.
Sutta Janasi Bhajam Te
Sutta Janasi Bhajam Te
Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati
Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati
Devakyam Vasudevasya
Devakyam Vasudevasya
Tattvayasya Chikirsaya
Tattvayasya Chikirsaya.
Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te
Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te
Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati
Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati
Devakyam Vasudevasya
Devakyam Vasudevasya
Jato Yasya Chikirsaya
Jato Yasya Chikirsaya.
Mothers?
Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te
Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati
Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chikirsaya.
Sutta Janasi Bhadram Te
Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati
Devakyam Vasudevasya
Jatayasya Chikirsaya
Sutta
Sutta.
Oh, Sutta Goswami.
Oh, Sutta Goswami.
Janasi
Janasi.
You know.
You know.
Bhadram Te
Bhadram Te
All blessings upon you.
All blessings upon you.
Bhagavan
Bhagavan
Personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Sattvatam
Sattvatam
Of the pure devotees.
Of the pure devotees.
Pati
Pati
The protector.
The protector.
Devakyam
Devakyam
In the womb of Devaki. Vasudevasya
Vasudevasya
By Vasudev
By Vasudev
Jata
Jata
Born of Yasya
Yasya
For the purpose of
For the purpose of
Vikirsaya
Vikirsaya
Execute
Execute.
Translation. All blessings upon you, O Sutta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of God had appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudev. Repeat after me, please. All blessings upon you.
All blessings upon you.
Oh, Sutta Goswami.
Oh, Sutta Goswami.
You know for what purpose?
You know for what purpose?
The personality of God.
The personality of God.
Appeared in the womb of Devaki.
Appeared in the womb of Devaki.
As the son of Vasudev.
As the son of Vasudev.
Purport. Bhagavan means the Almighty God, who is the controller of all opulence, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. He is the protector of his pure devotees. Although God is equally disposed to everyone, he is especially inclined to his devotees. Sat means the absolute truth. And persons who are servitors of the absolute truth are called Satvatas. And the personality of Godhead, who protects such pure devotees, is known as the protector of the Sattvas. Bhadram Te, or blessings upon you, indicates the sage's anxiety to to know the absolute truth from the speaker. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, appeared to Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the symbol of transcendental position, wherein the appearance of the Supreme Lord takes place. So, Krishna is known as Patavacharya, one who is fair to everyone, but somehow most fair to his bhaktas, because his bhaktas are most attentive to him and able to receive and to appreciate what Krishna is always making available for everyone. But sometimes it seems like a complete contradiction, because often we see that the materialists, they are prospering in some cases. Practically, the things that are the most sinful are the things that make the most money these days. You have business and you are selling drugs, alcohol, if you, and some type of thing like gambling, etc. These things, they make the most money. Even right now, more and more states are getting lotteries and gambling and casinos, because they know it's huge revenue. It'll bring in all types of development, Kali Yuga development. So people there, they watch this sometimes. Sometimes people will come a little closer to devotional service. And even sometimes devotees, they wonder, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, how does it work? What will happen? How will I get wealthy? How will this happen? All they want to know, what's the benefit? But always from the material angle. And then sometimes they see that those who are engaged in devotional service, just like the discussion in the Krishna book, that Lord Shiva's devotees often seem to have great opulences, a wealth with them. But the Vaishnavas, they seem to be poor. Not always, but that may seem to be the case. But then we see from the story of Bhikkhurasura how the demigods, they will give boons. They will arrange things. But sometimes it's not the best thing for the person. And sometimes there is serious consequence that one has to incur based on being the receiver. And other times it is just right out unhealthy, debilitating for one's spiritual unfolding. Not only does Krishna sometimes not give certain material arrangements, but often he takes away. So it can be a little frightening. There's a story, how, to paraphrase it, how one Indian gentleman went to see Srila Prabhupada, and quite wealthy, established gentleman, and he asked Srila Prabhupada to bless his sons. And basically the man was thinking, to bless them, Swamiji, so they will take over the business nicely, they will be industrialists, they will be prosperous, they will be very, very wonderful, they'll have good health, they'll have long life, they will have nice progeny. Prabhupada pointed toward his devotees, how this is his blessing. Bless them that they, these boys, that they will become renunciants, from servants of Krishna. The man said, oh, I'm Indian. Because often the Indians, they know what it means to be renounced or to take the renounced land. Even we find, like in South Africa, there's so many devotees, so many wonderful devotees in all different environments. And so many, many very highly placed people, their children are devotees. I'm sorry, they are devotees, life members, and some of them even initiated. But, and so it happens in England also. But when some of their children decide to be devotees and to be full-time, oh, become so disturbed. Because still, so much of the consciousness is based on how to help Krishna. And so much happiness simultaneously. For some cases, they're just disturbed because they're not happy with what they see. It was considered to be the ISKCON society. They may feel that they're not comfortable with their children living in a communal environment, etc. Or they may be uncertain about the future. But in many cases, they want Krishna, but also sense gratification. Myself, we were talking the other day, he was missing out. He was once hearing a lecture that Jabhataka Swami had given in, I think, Atlanta. And he was saying how Srila Prabhupada had said that most of his disciples will go to Swargalokam. I've heard discussions of Prabhupada said that most devotees are aspiring for the heavenly planets. Now, does it mean that devotees are constantly thinking, I want to hang out in the heavenly abodes and take some ras and engage in the activities with the Gandharas or the heavenly damsels or this or that? Are we masochists or sadists? We feel something worthy about suffering? No. But we do understand that you cannot become Krishna conscious if you're actually thinking that there are so many wonderful things about this hellish place. And therefore, one who is thinking that there is something so wonderful about such is a disqualification. Is it an accident that even in this lifetime, so many devotees who've come to the movement have come out of sort of like counterculture? Or they've been steeped in material culture and steeped in sense gratification, burnout of such, and looking vigorously for something different? And where there is so much thinking, but I just didn't make the right connection. I just didn't have the right service, the right husband, the right wife, the right job, the right profession. I got to go back and do this thing, that thing. Then there could be a problem. We use whatever faithful devotional service. But if we're thinking that something is of such wonderfulness about mature energy, other than trying to see how to use it, to get out, to get others out, how to maintain ourselves as we try to make those escape. But in that, things will be simply a stagnation, interfere. So sometimes Krishna, through great mercy, intervenes. Now he treats his devotees special. By often speeding up their life, by giving them many, many complications, as a way to let the devotee get so many things behind him or her to move on. You're not moving fast, you won't feel much disturbance. You're moving fast, you should feel disturbance. But if you're moving, you're feeling disturbance and you're not following principles, that is simply your maya. And part of the chastisement of mature energy. But if one is following principles, and there is problems, disturbances, and we're not being offensive to Vaishnavas, and that is Krishna's mercy. Speeding one up, breaking through different barriers, giving us a chance to move through so that we can be sufficiently situated. And all of this can be so much of a wonderful experience if it is done in loving community environment. And all of that can be so difficult if we are trying to do it without supportive environment. Even some of the most basic things where there is some austerity. You tend to be a musician, you tend to be a sportsman, you tend to do that. Try to practice and do these things by yourself. It becomes difficult. But as you have others who also do it with you, then the difficulty no longer becomes a stagnation, But it becomes a joyful challenge. And it's part of the human condition that challenges are necessary. Otherwise it'll be boring. There's no challenges in your life. One will be very morbid. Nothing to look forward to, nothing to try to achieve, nothing to aspire for. Let's see over this. They're part of the living, really the living dead. So many cases we see in the scripture of Krishna seemingly favoring his devotee because he knows his big devotees. He knows how much one is committing themselves, and therefore he knows how much one is ready to what degree to receive him. So therefore he may seem to favor such souls only because they have opened themselves up more to Krishna. And even when there may be some even deviation, Krishna has marked them. But if one does not feel some serious compunction, some regret, and pick themselves up in the wounded state, and that wound will turn into chronic disease or devastation. We see, like in the case of Ajamil, he was calling on the Lord's name at the time of death. Previously, so many discrepancies in his life. But the Lord is so compassionate and so much merciful beyond his law that he facilitates. And then we see the story of Bilba Mangala, the court. In Peter's life, he was such a devout. He was a first class devout. He was visiting his prostitute. Even on the day of his father's death anniversary, in Vedic culture, one does different rites. It's a very important day to be able to help that soul. He was so much in meditation when visiting his prostitute. It was raining, it was storming, it was so much difficult. But he was determined to make this connection. And so he had to go through dangerous situations to try to make the connection. Going to the river, taking advantage, having to, you had to use a dead body, had to climb up the gate was closed. Tried to climb up the grab of a snake. He was just determined. Whatever it took, he was determined that he wanted to meet up with this person. You see, people are often like that, especially when it comes to sex life. You go through so many arrangements. Huh? They buy big cars, beautiful cars, they dress like this, they go pick people to do dinners and spend lots of money. And all anything in the back of their mind is, yes, soon there will be some sex. It's happening during the holiday now. People are trying to entice each other in all kinds of ways. What's in the back of the mind? Sex. A little toxic person. Take up this place. Impress them like this. It's all coming down. Same consideration. Same game again and again and again. So, remember the core. He was so fixed like this. He had been so much captivated by this person that even she was so astounded to know that this customer was so loyal that in all these difficult situations he was coming to get something that was already so much used of. And she was used by Krishna to help him understand his foolishness. She spoke to him in a shocking way. How he was so eager that this body plus stool and urine can squeeze out some enjoyment. But somehow we had just some iota of this kind of dedication for serving Krishna. I want to be a realized soul. We just think about some of the material things that we're interested in and how we put so much energy into some of these things. If we had that much energy, we could put into Krishna consciousness. So much could be accomplished. We all have certain things that we need to put so much energy into. We could just do that for Krishna. So much could be accomplished. We'd be out of so many lower states of consciousness. And then, after she preached to him, here she was, a devotee, professional devotee, preaching to this Dobra Mangalapur. And he decided what? That he was going to go to Vrindavan. Like a complete change of lifestyle. Taking the life of renunciation. But you think Maya said, okay, you're going to go to Vrindavan? No problem. You're all right. You're a Krishna's man. I'll leave you alone. So while he was in Vrindavan, he happened to see this one lady, bathing. And he became so stimulated. So here he was in sadhu cloth, and he was just watching all movements. He became so intoxicated, he just followed her home. Waiting outside. The husband recognized this person, sadhu cloth. Understanding that it's a benediction to receive sadhus. The sadhus be present. But what a circumstance. The lady was very chaste. Spoke to her husband. Invited him in. And he came a little to his senses. He asked her, put down her hair. He took a pin from the hair she gave to him, took it, pulled out his eyes. These eyes, there's so much taking me in sense gratification, consciousness, even though I'm in the spiritual environment. How they are such demons. We deal with these demons. So they have not his eyes. Now, not that we have to stab our eyes physically, or seeds and weeds and consciousness. They must be rooted out. And even being in a spiritual environment, spiritual association, has so much negative thoughts, so much sense gratification thoughts, so much destructive. Consciousness in the mind and the heart. Let's keep taking that. But because Krishna favors his devotee, Krishna appears. Young boy. And guides, just take stick and guides the Mangala Kaur by hand. And takes him, because he cannot see them, takes him on into Vrindavan. So, as Krishna sees that we are serious and wanting to work on our knowledge, especially we must recognize that they're there and we're in denial, then what help do we have? We're sick, we think we're well, what can we do? Recognize our sickness, and we are so much against the cancer, the contamination, we want to take it away, take it away. The Krishna will help. So there is sometimes you see some pictures of Dobra Mangalapur and he's doing a bhajan, and there is Gopal Krishna, baby Krishna, next to him. So Krishna will be most accommodating to his devotee if we are actually devotees. Really devoted. Not that he favors, he is in the sense that he is having pets or favorites. But that way there is such intense devotion and that will attract Krishna. As we said today, we want to look at where we're having some these anarchists, we want to pluck them out once and for all. Whatever situation is causing us to be distracted within our consciousness, we want to address those things. deal with your weaknesses. Otherwise, it will simply be to the demise of our spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any questions?
Hey, Rupa Maharaj. Well, I'd first like to say I'm really grateful and thankful to be here with you and all the devotees here on the eve of Prabhupada's centennial and be able to spend it here. What I'd like to ask you is, well, for me to meditate and work on how I can better serve Srila Prabhupada and yourself in this coming year and ever after, I'd like to ask you about your first meeting or meetings with Srila Prabhupada and your initial thoughts and realizations. And I know vaguely over the years you did most of your service in separation for Srila Prabhupada, and I know you pleased him very much, and I would just, maybe if you could discuss your mindset and mentality you kept over the years, so we could, or myself, I could maybe strive for the same mentality in performing my service to Srila Prabhupada and yourself.
Well, two things. I mentioned when Prabhupada's appearance day, discipline day, and I was discussing how I always kept a diary. So I write letters. For years and years I write a letter every day on a regular basis to Srila Prabhupada. A letter to him, not something out of the mail, but it was in a diary form. And just to take a closer look at what I was thinking, what I was doing, what I wasn't doing, and then to look at areas that I'm weak and try to see, when am I going to get rid of these weaknesses? How am I going to improve? Being embarrassed, having to write about him, come before him regularly, have some of the same stuff he put in before. It still happens, it's not easy to get rid of. You know, we're envious, we're angry, we're insensitive, so many things. So the gross ones are a lot easier, the subtle ones are, because, you know, usually more difficult. But most important was thinking that, you know, the spiritual master is never just a physical body. It's not that the spiritual master can help us or encourage us only when he's physically around. But to know that whatever situation we're in, there's some reason for it. We can always blame anybody, everybody, and we can. But whatever is happening to us, there's something that's there for us to grow from if we use it. And that way, it's like I was talking to one of my brothers, he's kind of thinking that I don't have any problems in my preaching. But it's the thing about everybody has problems, a lot of problems. But it doesn't matter, and I have one of the most difficult days in the world after this. Right? Any problem you can think of, it goes wrong, goes wrong. But the question is, do we let problems destroy us, or do we use those problems to try to become more serious, or try to position ourselves so we can go on serving? The very first time I met Srila Prabhupada was through his voice. In the sense that I had come into the temple for a little bit, and I had gotten the album of Srila Prabhupada, just speaking the Hare Krishna mantra. He chants and then he's speaking. So I hadn't met him yet. I guess I met him some months later, physically. But that was the first. And I saw his picture of him in the temple. And when I heard the voice on the record, and for lack of a better word, I had some sort of mystical experience. But the gist of it was that I realized that I had one. I knew the voice, I knew the personality, and I realized that I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing, and that I was under arrest. And so, you know, my life changed over there. And then the first physical time I met him was in New York, at a darshan. And I asked a few ridiculous questions, I remember I asked them. Any other question?
Umar, a lot of times you'll have some facility, and it says, you know, it's material, but instead of using it for material purposes, you've been using this material facility for spiritual, and you see you're doing a series with it, you're getting some progress, and then Krishna takes this, you know, spiritual facility away. And I know one reason, or one devotee told me, he said that this is to increase you to want to do this service more. Is there also some other reasons that are there?
Think of that. If we see Krishna taking away some spiritual service, which means that we are attached to how we want to serve Krishna. It doesn't always happen like that. We should be ready to try to serve and do our best. But in this part of the world or that part of the world, we have a lot of money or no money, we have good health or bad health. That's service, still service. This is your love. But if you do like that, then Krishna wants to change situations and he'll make arrangements. Of course, the duty of the leader is to try to see how to engage people. It's not always easy for us. Then we're more concerned about the manpower or the money problems when they engage people in some areas that they don't have the propensity. But in general, material life, one supposedly has a qualification and then they get a job based on that. But in spiritual life, we understand we're not really qualified for anything. And so we take some duty and some service and we're trying to do our best. Anyone else?
This idea about personal surveillance and looking out regardless of things that need to be removed in order to move on, it's kind of a difficult thing to actually look at from a real perspective, because in order to recognize, you have to have the quality to recognize. If these things are there, you may not be able to recognize them, because those things in themselves are ways to cover you for what you see. Where you need to move on.
That is right. Sorry.
And part two is that actually also the evaluation of oneself maybe also has to be done in such a way that we are not trying to reestablish maybe some lost facility for sense gratification and mistaken after actually moving towards Krishna. So it seems like you need some help in order to, in this whole process, working things out. It's very hard to do it.
Very nice point. It's that even, though we try to take inventory, this is why I start off by saying, if we think we're okay, then we're in trouble. That's why I gave the example that it's like we are being put in a higher class than what our real classification is. But if somebody thinks that they're okay, then they're really not a devotee. Because there's nowhere in any bona fide scripture that the devotee thinks that he's okay. Even when he's okay. Somebody thinks that way there. They're actually playing games in the spiritual environment. They'll be helped, granted. Somebody thinks, I'm okay, and everybody else is in this problem, that problem, this thing, that thing. And I only got a problem because everybody else is doing this. And they are a big problem. They're problematic. The Krishna still will help everybody to a certain extent based on their situation. And even when we're not, you know, as we genuinely start growing, then we see so many things that we need to work on better, not less. So that is often a problem among day-to-day devotees and amongst leaders, is that we have a tendency of thinking that we're okay. And that is just the environment that we're okay. So that is, that's mine. Because we're responsible for the environment. Even if we think it's an environment, then we have to look at ourselves, why we haven't been able to help change the environment more, so we're still not okay. Any other questions? But the exercise of taking inventory gradually helps us to do it more genuinely. Normally we'll see certain things that are easier for us to look at, things we don't really have to work on so hard to change. When we start changing those, we start going deeper.
Is there any way to without thinking that we are okay, they are also a part of our spiritual advancement, which is to acknowledge our own advancement. If we don't see where we are and where we are next step, we cannot advance really in spiritual life. So how can we make the balance there?
Nice point. That we also need to, as we do, and that's what inventory means. It's like if you're in your inventory, you see what you have, what you've used, and what you need. So these things go, they go together. You only are looking at your weakness, you become pretty discouraged sometimes. Think, well, what is it like? I still got this thing, that thing, that thing. But we do learn. And, you know, we mentioned we ask the devotees to go and visit some of the other devotees. We try to include the idea of how every devotee is actually very important and very rare and special. Because everyone was taken somehow through the process. They made some belief of faith, they committed themselves, and they've done services in some way at some time. Send those services under the umbrella, you know, of Lord Chaitanya. So even some of those who have fallen away very far, but they look at what they have accomplished, or what they have done, or what they are connected with, then they can get a sense of inspiration also. It's a nice point. And it should be like that. We look and see, you know, not that we should feel satisfied, but we should look and see, yes. So last year I was doing this thing, and I'm over that one now, and I'm doing this, like this, like this. Let's see how to work on the other areas and walking through.
What if you know you're not now okay, but you can't find anything at the same time?
Then you need to have more honest, heart-to-heart conversations with God brothers and God sisters. Because we should also see ourselves based on how others see us as well, since we're concerned about the service of the service. So it's good that we talk with, you know, all the devotees should have some associations where they can reveal their mind. If there's nobody we can reveal our mind to, then we're in trouble, because that says something about us. We should have some association where we can reveal our mind. And those associations, we should ask for some advice, some assistance, some guidance.
I was trying to figure out how to ask this question, and my life has kind of opened up a little bit, you know. Because sometimes we are really struggling with ourselves to acknowledge our problems or whatever, you know, and we're really doing, trying to clarify things with ourselves. But at the same time, I was thinking, how can you like your fellow God brothers and sisters to help you in that endeavor? And as for me personally, I feel you can only trust someone as far as you can trust yourself at certain stages, you know. And like, if you're so contaminated and conditioned and covered, and others, you know, we're all the same ways. How can you trust that what they're seeing of you, you know?
By trusting Krishna. Understand? You know, by trusting Krishna. As we trust Krishna, we trust his system, and he works through his system. Even if someone is speaking to you in a way that may not be so right on, but you're trying to trust Krishna, trying to serve Krishna, Krishna will even use a situation like that. I mean, this was the main story of the Bhagavad Gita, the court of Chaitanya. Chaitanya, she was a prostitute. Not only was she not an advanced person, she was right out a sinful person. But because the Mangalika was marked by Krishna, some sincerity was there, otherwise he wouldn't even help her. So Krishna used a situation that was directly a connection of sense gratification, illicit, and used Chaitanya to preach to him, to convince him to see how ridiculous the situation was. So the real thing is not just the association, the environment, but to what degree we're serious, so that the environment is connecting with us seriously. The more that we are serious, the more Krishna will send that kind of help for us. But then when it comes, do we find a reason to reject it or procrastinate? And that is of each person's free will, how we use their free will. See, there's never a time the Krishna is not aware, is not active, is not reciprocating, right? So, that means that if we are trying harder and harder, Krishna will reciprocate based on that situation. And that's why I was discussing the other day, anything we're disappointed with in our life, then we have ability to make a difference. Everything that happened to every person, every family, every group, every country, every planet, is based on an aggregate of individual and collective consciousness. So the aggregate of individual consciousness has produced a certain mood that produces certain reciprocation. What happens to every single person has so much to do with the type of desires that we have, how they aggregate, and then they bring certain kind of things around us into us. So if anything in our lives we're not happy with, then it's a matter of changing consciousness will change what experiences that we have. Or what realization we have. It's all about consciousness.
I guess it's two questions in one. Sometimes Prabhupada said that the heart it's like a clay pot. And once broken, it's very, very difficult to move. So sometimes in our relationship with devotees, there may be some pain caused. And if a devotee is very much hurt by another devotee, and he tries to approach that devotee in all sincerity to rectify the situation, but the other devotee refuses to deal with it, how does that devotee deal with his pain? How does he mend his own heart, even if he's praying to Krishna for the rectification that doesn't come?
There's two things. When we give our hearts and the heart gets broken, it leaves a serious wound. For example, a few days ago, you know, a young lady falls in love and falls deeply and is thinking that it's reciprocal and finds out that it's not. It's very difficult. Then there's always a feeling that this same thing may be happening again or will happen again. And sometimes one will even close themselves down to a certain extent and not to let certain things let me go. Or it's happening like in the case of, you know, day-to-day relationships, the spiritual community. It's happening with, you know, disciple, you see spiritual master or mentor arrangements. And these kind of things are always happening in the material world. That someone is trying to give, someone is looking for this, looking that, and you're attaching him a shelter, looking for love ultimately, and getting disappointed. And that is why we are trying to focus more emphatically on Krishna and the connection of Krishna consciousness in a genuine sense. Because we really want to be loved and cared for. We really want to have truth and to be honest and to be have honest, others be honest with us. But basically in material patterns we won't have it. Even when we do have it, it's temporary. And even to the degree that materialism has moved into spiritualism and wound up in a spiritual community, there will be traces of that also. But that's to help us also to see why we want ultimately Krishna, because we don't want to be cheated. Why we want to let Krishna come through so that we'll have that connection. And it also helps us to see the danger in every step in the material community, because we can't really grow in advance if we're feeling that material life is something that we can enjoy, dance with, etc. And we can't grow unless we discuss it with material patterns, whether they appear in the gross material situation or in the spiritual situation. Now, the other side of that, if somehow we're trying to rectify something and the person has closed their heart down, then if we're serious, then our heart opens up even more. Because we realize that that would be a block in that person's growth. And we want to become Krishna conscious, but we also want to live in a way that it inspires others to become Krishna conscious. So if something we said or did or associations we have, that is, if it's causing any shutdowns, then it means at the end of the day, end of the year, end of the lifetime, less and less service is offered to Srila Prabhupada, offered to Krishna. So the devotee wants to do their service not so that they're just thinking of themselves, but they're thinking of how to produce more bhakti. Like when I was explaining about the program, about the centennial, these things. So it's not that we're to think about ourselves, even our own project, or this situation, that situation, or whatever. But we are to think about the devotee community, here as well as communities in general. And actually, the devotee, what? The Vaishnava. He reminds others of Vaishnava, of Krishna. He reminds others of Krishna. And the sign of the devotee is that that devotee is speaking life, actions, help wherever he or she is, and encouraging the environment about Krishna's love. Any other questions?
A little earlier you spoke about we should have at least one godmother, sister, or devotee that we can confide in, you know, in order to help us with our anointings and things, and that's so self-realization. Would it help that it would be someone who could to yourself be sort of at the same level of trying to figure out their problems and trying to acknowledge difficulties within themselves? And if so, what kind of time? I mean, suppose it takes years, you know, to, you know, because each of us we see in a particular way, you know, we're also struggling to serve Krishna and serve Guru better. But at the same time, you don't want to become obsessed with trying to find a god brother or a, you know, whatever to combine it so you feel you can, you know, open up your mind and possibly your heart to or something in an effort to, you know, develop. Mm-hmm. Would they have to be like trying to develop themselves and, you know, or can, you know, you have to just settle on everyone in the community and just take whatever you can get, you know, not confide in anyone?
Well, again, as the conscience is serious, not only do you not have to look, but Krishna will come for you. The Ramamudu called the example of Krishna coming for him. Now that's very, you know, literal. But, or as I asked the question about, you know, first meeting of Srila Prabhupada. So, in that sense, you know, I was maybe looking a little bit, but in another sense, it was, came after me. So, it's not that we should think that this is so complex and so difficult in order to get help from Krishna. The help is shouting at us all the time. In this, I'm saying shouting in the sense of that it's so available and so there. And Krishna so much wants to assist us much more than we imagine, much more than we want. We can learn from him. We can learn from these little children. I mean, the learning process is not that we have to see and notice somebody is a 100% pure devotee who just came from the spiritual world. As an experience, an avatar, a Shakti, and then we can accept and be able to grow. Not at all. But when there's seriousness, we grow from even difficulties, even somebody else's mind, even some seemingly inauspicious, we would say auspicious. Because believe it or not, there's a tendency for some people that they actually take things more seriously, they learn more even when there's, you know, when there's problems. And when they're not having problems, they don't grow quite as much. So the growth experience is always available if we are available. But if we are categorizing too much, this one is not a serious devotee, this is not a good devotee, this is not an advanced devotee, this person is against me, this person doesn't like me, this person is envious of me, this person would like to see me dead, this person actually, you know, feels this way, that way, then we'll just be having such a mantra with such things. And the environment will give us such because we'll be calling to that. Our mind is so much fixed. Whatever we put the most energy into, we'll get more of that. That becomes a mantra. But if we're considering everybody is more advanced than me, because in my mind, I'm thinking maybe leaving in a few weeks. On my mind, every day I'm thinking, oh, this is sex. On my mind, every day I'm thinking, that I should have did this, should have did that, he should have said, he should have said. Every day I'm criticizing people. Every day I'm thinking this or that. If we look at our own minds, every one of us will see that's our case. So then, we all need help. And that's why we have come to the Krishna consciousness. Because we want to be different from materialists. We want to be about something that's greater. But now once we come to the doctor, we take the medicine seriously or do we? Get disturbed because the bowel of the medicine is not what we expected. Or do we get disturbed because we see that in some cases the medicine is given in a nasty way? Sometimes it's like that. But as we position ourselves, we find ways how to take advantage of what is healthy and to separate ourselves from that which is not healthy. But the healthiness should be based on what will encourage us more and more to the surrendered souls to receiving Krishna's love. So let anyone have one question from us. Yes, anyone? So we'll have, as I mentioned about the program, we started right on time at 9, and we invite you all to come. We will have put this on the board. It's not on the board already. Is anything on the board? Yes?
No, not yet.
Okay. So there's only a few changes. We'll have candlelight, simultaneously, arti to the Prabhupada, Radha Damodar at 12, at 5 to 12. So then at 12 o'clock, we are absorbed in such. And the rest of the things are on the schedule. And we'll be trying to invite some of the devotees around to come. Possibly. So, right shore, your organizations, resolutions, spiritual commitments, etc., for yourself. Offer those to Srila Prabhupada. And just try to be honest and genuine with yourself as you reflect. You know, make spiritual life an always growing experience. If you do this, then it'll be so much more satisfying and really. It won't seem like, you know, a struggle or like another job, so to speak. Iskand Bhanda Chari Divine Ace Bhakti Vadati Sami Sindhu Bhati Sri Radha Dhamma Dravara Kalachan Jiji.